So can I say while we during commercial break and we're watching this 2012 NBA playoff replay from Game 6, Sixers at home facing the Chicago Bulls minus Joakim Noah and Derrick Rose, both due to injury. Jrue Holiday was tough. You could see it. Of course, he was an all-star already. He was tough. Still is tough. But, and you just go back and you reflect back to Nerlens Noel, even Dario Saric, right? Jrue Holiday was tough, man. Yeah. He had 14 after three quarters for the 76ers. Lou Williams was a problem, of course. Still shooting the same shots. Yeah. They had some stuff. They did the rebuild, Sam Hankey. Oh, man. What can I tell you? I didn't like the rebuild. I did not want to do it the way they did it. If they wanted to move some pieces, understood. The way they did it, I was not happy about. 610-632-0975. Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I'm Devon Givens. Tyler Zuli's producing the show. Jrue Holiday just took, I think, C.J. Watson, Luau Deng, and Taj Gibson to the cup with a sick layup. Man, he was good. I don't even remember what could have happened, but what did happen, and I just wish they would have found a way to keep Jrue Holiday. And I was listening to him on J.J. Redick's podcast a couple of weeks ago, where he talked about Sam Hankey calling him while he was in the car, coming from a camp that he was involved in out in Los Angeles. They were going to a Dodgers game with he and his friends. I believe his brother Justin was with him, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I know he's with his friends. Sam Hankey called and says, "Hey, I know we've never met. Sorry we couldn't have some more opportunities to meet, but we're trading you to New Orleans for Nerlens Noel." Well, the number 6 pick in Nerlens Noel turned out to be Nerlens Noel. Okay, thanks. And they hung up, and that was it. And then they later on, the 76ers tried to get him back. Not Sam Hankey, but the 76ers did. He was good. That was a tough one. I'm just saying, that was a tough one. So we'll continue to take your phone calls on righting a wrong in Philadelphia sports after the Sixers reverse course and now are going to decide to pay their players, and rightfully so, as they should during this rebuild. I mean, during this tough time going on with everything with COVID-19. So we're asking just for fun, again, trying to make light of some things and have a good time here as we all are quarantined, staying in the house, can't go and do much. Right or wrong in Philadelphia sports history. 610-632-0975, the ones that we have so far. Moses Malone, the rebuild overall. Reggie White, Roy Henson for Brad Daugherty. T.O., 2005, not fixing that situation. Cliff Lee, 2009, trading him to the Seattle Mariners. Can't do that. Andrew Bynum. Bobrovsky, those are both selections from Tyler Zuli. Evan Turner, when you should have taken DeMarcus Cousins at number 2. I was on the Evan Turner side early on. I was wrong. They should have taken DeMarcus Cousins at number 2. Brought him in here. Could have changed a lot of things. Nick Foles, should have brought him back and let Carson Wentz go. That was from one of our callers, and he was wrong. Who was that? Mike in Philly, right? Yep, that was Mike. And Sam Hankey. That was our guy Brian from Plymouth Meeting saying they should have never gotten rid of Sam Hankey. And I gave him a quick counter. Wait a minute, Brian. B, he left. They didn't fire him. He left. But he was right also. We're both right. We're both right because Sam Hankey left once Jerry Colangelo was brought in here. Jerry Colangelo did not want Sam Hankey. Sam Hankey did not want Jerry Colangelo. That did not work. But I didn't think Sam Hinkie gave it enough time to see if it could have worked. If they could have at least had their conversation, figure things out, see if it worked, because Sam Hinkie was not a total disaster. I didn't like the rebuild. I never said I didn't like Sam Hinkie. I don't know what he would have done with the other players brought in, free agency, trade, all of that, once they decided to move on from the rebuild and the tank. I don't know what would have happened. I don't know what would have happened. But there are a lot right there. So those are a few right there. We have a lot still on Twitter that we can get to. Tyrone Johnson also, I remember earlier, one of the tweets that we got from Tyrone was simply Dirk Nowitzki over Larry Hughes. Larry Hughes was selected at 8 in the 1998 NBA draft. Dirk Nowitzki went one spot behind him to the Milwaukee Bucks, then traded to the Dallas Mavericks. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Sam in Ohio right here on the Fanatic. Sam, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you again.
What's going on?
Oh, I'm working, avoiding the virus that's around
safe.
The area.
Stay safe, man.
I will. My habits haven't changed. I always stay clean. Guys, all right. Now, here's the big thing. When I want to build a team, baseball, football, you know, you kind of go across every level. So they address the defensive line by adding depth, right?
Yes.
Linebacker, I mean, there has to be something they have their eye on. They want somebody at linebacker. I like Joe Schobert. I've been watching the Browns for years here. Joe Schobert's a tackling machine. That's just my opinion. And Trent Williams is a very interesting prospect that you have to take a shot at because you have an offensive line that needs to get solidified. Like I said, it's getting older and it's getting more.
Just real fast, he just checked. Schobert signed with the Jags. Tyler just checked. So, yeah.
Missing out on him, like, you know, you're missing out on a high-level guy who will tackle. And he has good hands, too. He picked off, Mason Rudolph twice on Thursday Night Football. Now, when it comes to bad trades or trades you regret, Cliff Lee is mine for sure. At least from the Indians' perspective, I love Cliff Lee. We watched him go from sucky to great. You know, so that was, you know, in kind of reverse order. It's amazing how many trades Philadelphia and Cleveland have between all the major sports. And I think the best deal Philadelphia has had in this decade is trading away Bradford. I think that was beautiful. I don't know how they hustled that trade, but I'm glad they did it.
Yeah, getting rid of Bradford, that was a good one. I thought that was a good trade when it happened for them to acquire him. I was wrong. He had the Green Bay game in the preseason, and that was really it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've watched Bradford tear his knee in Cleveland Browns Stadium, I think, twice.
Mm-hmm.
Or something, you know, and we've seen it.
Yeah, man. Listen, great stuff. Appreciate it, Sam, from Ohio, man. Stay safe be safe out there doing your work, of course, during this coronavirus that's going around. 610-632-0975. He wants a linebacker, and I know you want Queen. Tyler's.
Yeah, name. I'd settle for Bond, too. It's not like it's a one and done, but Queen's my guy.
Okay. Linebacker's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
In the first round.
No, absolutely not.
They'll address it, but just not in the first round. 610-632-0975. Chris in West Grove next. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Devon.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I just wanted to talk about the free agency with Harry Roseman and all.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I know he addressed the backs and all that, which was great, and Gary Slay was a good pickup.
It was a great pickup.
I kind of wish he kind of focused more on the wide receiver because I kind of really wanted Robbie Anderson, and he was available for so long. But I feel like he could have went after that a little bit more. And
I wanted them to look at Robbie Anderson as well as things went along, but I'm not. You know what? No, I'm with you, but I didn't value him that high. It was more of give me DeAndre Hopkins.
Absolutely.
And I was absolutely ticked off about that. Robbie Anderson I would have taken, but you still need to address the draft, certainly, with the wide receiver position, Chris.
And I hope he does, because I want to trade up to get Ruggs.
Oh, okay. All right. Why Ruggs over Judy or even...
Well, what? Just by seeing
Lamb.
Just his workouts and all, mm-hmm. and he looks like a burner, and that's what I think Wentz needs. And I feel like we should trade up to get him.
Okay. All right, you trade up to get him, and what do you do with your next picks and second, third, all that?
Still get receivers, but I also think that maybe also might get another defensive back. You know?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think they need to go and get another young defensive back. They have young defensive backs here, but if you can strike with one that is a potential starter, I don't see that guy here right now.
Absolutely,
man. Listen, thanks for the call, Chris. Appreciate it, man. Stay safe out there. So I'm looking at on Twitter, we have Brian checked in with us again, Ty, from Plymouth Meeting, and he says we should have stayed at three in the 2018 draft and taken De'Aaron Fox. That, of course, the Markelle Fultz draft. Or Lonzo Ball when he fell to us in that scenario, because if the Sixers would have stayed at three, Boston would have been at one, Lakers at two. Let's assume that Boston didn't take Markelle Fultz and they went Jason Tatum.
Okay.
It was said that at the time, Magic Johnson really, really liked Markelle Fultz. Lonzo Ball falls to you? Is that the worst thing in the world?
I don't think it's terrible. If you're going to play total revisionist history, then yes, Fox is the best pick. My wonder is, I wonder if the Sixers stayed at three and then took Fultz. If he fell, right? And he falls to three.
Fultz.
Yes.
Okay.
This whole thing is way less exaggerated than what it is. It's still bad. I mean, you messed up the third overall
pick. Right.
And
you got it
for
wrong.
For the third time in 5 years, you got your top five pick wrong.
And you kept the Sacramento Kings pick.
Right.
Right.
That, I think, it would have been an easier pill for a lot of people to swallow.
Sure. Absolutely. So he continues and says, but Fox is better, and he would have been fire next to Simmons. Totally agree.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I was totally wrong about him at the time. As you know, I wanted Malik Monk. A crapshoot. Yes, I know you. I remember you wanted Malik Monk. I like Malik Monk later in the lottery, not at number three. Fox was in the mix with me for Dennis Smith Jr. You remember that?
I do remember that.
Jason Tatum and De'Aaron Fox. Those were my three in that area. Malik Monk was way down the line. And no one was wrong about Malik Monk. It was just that he was someone that was going to be a scorer off the bench, not a starter.
So,
and if with the number three pick, you need to find someone who can start for you and be a part of Simmons' MB core.
Right. And so going back to that draft, if memory serves me right, I'm pretty sure there was a night you were hosting, but before I really started working here, I called you up one night as just a fan.
I remember that.
And I was pretty adamant about Dennis Smith.
Yeah.
And
that's my guy.
You and I were pretty much on the same page.
I still need him out of New York.
But
gotta get out of New York.
Man, De'Aaron Fox at three would
De'Aaron
have been
Fox,
awesome.
De'Aaron Fox and Jason Tatum have turned out to be the best guys.
Yeah.
Simple. They turned out to be the best guys. De'Aaron Fox in the Eastern Conference is an all-star. Should have been an all-star, not this season. Last season when he was also in contention for most improved player in year number two. He was that good for that Sacramento Kings team. That would have been crazy. Crazy. Casey on Twitter says, if you kept T.O. and got rid of McNabb, no way Jeff Garcia would have signed there. Absolutely right. So when we went back and looked at the free agents from that 2005 year, 2006 year, Jeff Garcia and T.O., no way.
Oh, you're right. I didn't even think about it. I didn't even put that connection together.
Great stuff, Casey.
My thought would have been that they wouldn't have signed Garcia because they wouldn't have wanted a veteran backup. That makes way more sense. Mm-hmm. I missed the San Francisco connection.
Yes. Devon Givens, Ty Lazuli, 610-632-0975. We got some good ones that we need to get rid of. We'll not get rid of. Give to people, since we have so many. We know we like to give everybody their shot here. Sandy Coldfax on Twitter. I like that. Sam Hinkie. They should have let him finish. Brian Colangelo came along and made us a middle-of-the-road team again, just like before the rebuild. He said the P word. I say the rebuild. So, he goes along with Brian.
The P word,
it's a bad word.
It's a curse word.
It's a curse word. The FCC would be all over us. As whenever I'm hosting, the FCC all over us because I'm not saying that word. So, Sam Hinkie, I mean, we went over it because Brian also said it earlier. He quit. Technically, he quit. We know what happened. Jerry comes in, They were not going to get along. Jerry was not going to keep him here. He quit. Steven underscore Amo one should have moved Andre Miller, who was good for the 76ers, made them too good, and tanked for Kevin Durant when they traded AI to Denver. That would have certainly turned a lot of things
around. Draft Durant at two?
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. You know, that's a great thought.
That's a great what if.
Game thought and process.
A lot that had to go into that. A
right.
Lot.
What happens if they fell to one?
Take Kevin Durant.
Just say they don't take Odom.
Can't do it.
You never know.
Can't take Odom at one. You got to take Kevin Durant at that spot. I was big on, at that time, Portland taking Kevin Durant. He was just that.
Man, could you imagine that Portland team with Durant on it?
And with Brandon Roy?
Yeah. They were good.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Young LaMarcus Aldridge, too.
Man. Come on. That would have been nuts. And, all right, let's get to a few more here before we get back to the phone. 610-632-0975. Still lucky. Dawkins was bad enough, but that mistake was compounded by not moving Sheldon Brown to safety. Also letting DeSean Jackson go after you added Sproles to the offense. Sproles and McCoy with DeSean Jackson. Can't do it, man. Cannot let DeSean go. Cannot. We got a bunch of these. Do over on Eric
Chip
Lindros.
Chip was the worst.
Yeah, he was. Oh, man. Yeah, he was the worst. All right. Joe. Jay Zell 65, do over. Eric Lindros Forsberg trade. Love to see what the Flyers would have done with Forsberg. And that goes to the Jaromir Jagr point as well with Recky. Tyler?
You got later Forsberg. You got a chance at that. He was okay.
He was still all right.
He was not bad.
He just wasn't Colorado Avalanche.
Right. Well, and Forsberg. Again, what's to say that who knows if he would have played the same way? Absolutely. Play alongside Joe Sakic, it makes things a lot easier for you.
It does, but playing next to Jaromir Jagr, if they did that one,
right. Now that one, it would have been perfect.
That would have worked out pretty well. Let me see one more before we take a call, go to break and all that stuff, and then we still have... I have a question. You also have a question with this one, and we'll throw it to people, but... here we go. 76-39 early on. These idiots still talking about not doing the rebuild, the P word. We had 30 years with no titles. How many more years of doing the old way did we need? I was tired of it. I would never regret it because I lived through 1983 and missed it. It's called common sense. Fans have none. Well, 76-39. I'm also, as you remember, not part of the club when it comes to the rebuild. So I'm one of those idiots that has no common sense. Tyler is as well, because we thought that there were other ways to do it. Every team that turns out to be good, they find ways to get it done when they rebuild. You didn't have to do it that way. That's just the bottom line. You did not have to do it that way. Period. This is the thing with this. This is going to go on forever. Ever. When talking about this. Jerome Weitzman just wrote a book. He's not even in this city. He's a national writer, and he writes a book about the 76ers and their rebuild because it was so, so off the wall. Not off the wall, but, man, I mean, come on.
I think the problem for both you and I is if this thing doesn't, you know, come to fruition with a championship, you're going to have to change the book title to what? Tanking to
the top.
Kind of good?
Tanking the three straight second round exits. That's what he called it. They might not get that chance because we don't know if the season will resume this year. All right. 76-39 also says, if I could right a wrong in Philly sports, it would be that the refs would be the Boston Garden Game 7, 1981, would have called the obvious foul on Bird when he fouled Andrew Toney at the three-point line on that last shot of the game. I was 7 then, and I'll never get over that robbery. All right, I don't remember that. I just know about it, but I cannot comment enough on it because I just don't know enough about that particular situation. I just don't know enough. All right, so that was a lot of them. We still have some more, but we have to get to a break, and Tyler has some more as well, but we also want to ask a question on the other side about a popular TV streaming television.
Yeah, I believe they're calling it a docu-series.
I have a question.
Weird.
Tyler has a question. We will ask it on the other side. 610-632-0975. We're hanging out with you until 10. Tyler Zuli, Devon Givens here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
They're getting it on in this game, 2012, game six. Tearing up the scoreboard. 73-72 with just under, a little over 3:30 left in the game. I remember this game. The building was crazy. And here's the funny thing, because I remember this was the series, of course, where they were down. No, that was the next series, the Boston series. So this was crazy, too. This was fun. So I was at the game, sitting in my media seat. Mike Missinelli is there. And Mike came over to me. I want to see the playoffs because it was the Boston Celtics that they played in the next round of 2012 because they lost in game 6-7. There, I remember, Tyler remembers as well, 2012 Sixers-Celtics playoffs, and they went to game 7. So I'm looking at the box score here. They lost in the final game. The score was 85-75. It was close. It was closer than that. All right. It was closer than that. So there was a game here in Philadelphia where they were down by like, it seemed like 50 at halftime. Mike walked over to me and was like, "Can they come back?" I'm like, "Hell no." And I was mad. I don't know why. I was just sitting there and I'm watching. I'm like, these dudes are actually in this series. They won game 2 on the road. They come back home game 3, lose to the Celtics by a lot. And they win game 4. And that's the one I think when they were down big. And I was like, all right, this team actually has a shot. They actually have a shot. There's no reason why, zero reason why they should be in this game. Zero. And as I look at the quarters, 24-12, 22-19. So I think that's it. That's it right there. So you're talking about 46-31.
They were horrendous offensively.
46-31. And Mike at halftime was like, do they come back? I'm like, hell no. What did they do in the second quarter? They win that quarter. I mean, third quarter out of the locker room. They win that 128-17 by 11, right? And then, so you figure at that point, it was 63-59 going into the fourth quarter. So you're right. They're horrendous. Fourth quarter, they put it on them. 33-20. I was like, all right. They're going to win this. They're going to go to Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals and get blown out. But it's going to give them promise. They're going to make the right moves in the offseason. Boom.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Was it Miami 2012?
I think it was Miami.
It was Miami. Yeah, you're right. It was Miami. But it was crazy. He was like, yo, they're going to go play LeBron James and they're just going to lose and that's okay.
Because they
were AC. They had no business being there in the first place.
Doug Collins, if you can give the guy credit for one thing, had them ready to go defensively.
Yeah, Michael Curry was the defensive coach of the team. Doug Collins was losing his mind every time they had a miss assignment on defense and offensive rebound and score. He would lose his mind. So it was Paul Pierce, Rondo, Garnett, Bradley, and Brandon Bass. Ray Allen came off the bench, if you remember at that time. Still played 31 minutes, but they wanted to do something different with their lineup. Paul Pierce with 24, Brandon Bass 15. Rondo 15, Garnett 3 of 12 for 9. And you know I loved every second of that when he was missing, bricking every shot. 3 of 12.
Didn't he drop 20 assists in a game in that tournament in that series?
I have to check. But you know, you're not even supposed to cheer. And I was ready to jump out of my seat because I can't stand Kevin Garnett. Sixers were led by Iguodala and Evan Turner with 16 each. And look, this is how crazy it was. Evan Turner shot 22 shots. But he was getting good shots. He just couldn't make them. Made his free throws, 6 of 9, 9 rebounds. Andre, 5 of 12, 3 of 3 from behind the three-point line. 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Off the bench, Thaddeus Young, 4 of 8 for 12, 9 boards. Lou Williams, 5 of 11 off the bench, 15 points, 8 assists. So he led the team in assists. Drew had 11, 7, one assist, one steal. EB was 15 minutes. 15:43. Wow, only 15:43. He and Spencer Hall both played 15 minutes. Two of seven between the two. 1 of 2 for Elton Brand. He only took 2 shots, 3 points. Yeah, they won that game. In that particular game, in the series, let me see what the average was in the series. I don't know. I would have to look at the entire thing, but they were getting rocked, and I was like, no shot. And they came back and they won game 6, and they forced a game 7 and should have won that game 7. That was a fun series. This game is going down to the wire with 2 minutes left, so we'll probably have one segment to do in the post of this one with the box score all ready to go. That's not true, because the game is happening, so I don't have the box score yet. 610-632-097. So, question. Everyone's talking about this, Tyler, and I know you have a question. And maybe, you know, some people call in or just simply get to us on Twitter. This craze going on right now with... Am I saying this right? And I didn't understand what was going on. I just kept hearing people talk about it. The Tiger King. What in the world is going on? Tiger King.
No idea.
This is a documentary, 1 season. It was released on the 20th. I don't even know if this was the original release. But with everything going on and everyone in the house, you know how they're now pushing things up a little bit or either pushing things back to the fall. Big time movies like Fast and Furious, right? Stuff like that, like number 67, Fast and the Furious. They pushed that one back to November, December. James Bond, final James Bond with, what's my man's name? All right, whatever. James Bond is being pushed back to the fall, right? So,
Daniel Craig.
Thank you. I don't know if this was the initial release for them on Netflix or they decided to push it up because of everything going on with COVID-19 and everyone home. man, everyone, except for me and Tyler, is talking about this docuseries. Can people just tell us quickly, phones, Twitter, 610-632-0975, at Tyler Zuli, two L's, at Devon G975, D-E-V-O-N-G-975. Should we watch this thing? What are we missing? How many things have we missed? Is there one episode? Is there two episodes? Should we watch this Tiger King? And as soon as I pull it up on Google, the first thing I see from TMZ, Tiger King star Joe Exotic, how about that, files a lawsuit from prison, seeks nearly $94 million. All right, Joe. Whoa. What happened to the disappeared husband of Carol Baskin, featured in Netflix series Tiger King? Maybe, Ty, we need to watch this.
I've been trying to get more
disappeared
info.
Disappeared husband?
The guy we got.
Yes, disappeared husband?
The guy we got to get to is Pat Egan.
All right, we'll get to Pat. We'll get to Pat. But I want to know, should we watch this? This is what we want to ask on our way out. Should we watch Tiger King? I am off tomorrow. I'm back on Friday, 6 o'clock, with Joe Torti. Joe will be in tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Should Tyler Zuli and I be jumping in on this Tiger King thing? How many episodes have we missed? The first airing was on the 20th. This is a Netflix production. Should we be watching this? Everyone else is in on it. Should we be watching this? Carol Baskin, the husband. What happened to the disappeared husband of Carol Baskin and Tiger King? This is a question on people.com. So what is going on? And right away, we get our man Q. So we got to go to Q right away and get Q's thoughts on Tiger King and the Sixers in general. Q, what's up? Should we be watching this thing?
I watched it all, and I thought it was interesting. I mean, who don't want to see a grown man play with a deadly predator like a tiger?
Hold on. You said watched it all. How many are we getting ourselves into right now? Start things off.
It's 8 episodes.
Okay.
It's like 8 of them. Yeah, and it's pretty interesting. Each episode is about 42 minutes, and it's about the guy who is...
The one who's in prison?
No, well, yeah, the guy is in prison now, Joe Exotica.
Yes.
He ran for office. He ran for president in 2012, and he ran for Oklahoma governor, if I'm not mistaken, in 2016. You know, Oklahoma, he was, like, pretty much a big deal. He had a petting farm, a zoo.
Yeah.
And the girl, Carol, nobody knows what happened to her husband. He was a millionaire who disappeared over 22 years ago. But she's the animal rights woman.
Oh, man.
Who he's doing time for.
Okay, right.
It's gun-toting, mullet-wearing, you know, guy.
Okay.
Like, it's funny, man.
All right.
You gotta watch.
So we should check it out. Okay, so they're all 8 episodes are available, or do you have to watch them one at a time?
Oh, no, it's Netflix. All 8 are available.
Just like normal Netflix. Okay, cool.
Yep, I think it's okay, man. I think it was all right. Show. I didn't know I was going to get into it, but me and my wife, we got into it.
All right, what do you have on the Sixers?
Drew, you keep talking about Drew Holiday. I remember watching Corey Stokes and Drew Holiday when they were in high school. It was a big game that came on ESPN.
Villanova Stokes.
Excuse me?
Villanova Stokes.
Exactly. And I remember being as though the guy Stokes was going to Villanova, and I was sitting there, but there was the duel between them two. And I just remember watching Drew, and like, yo, he is ambidextrous for real. Both hands. And he was a two-guard back then, a scoring threat. It seemed like guys like them, he reminded me of Eddie Johnson a little bit. Old time Eddie Johnson that could shoot. Remember him? From Phoenix,
yeah.
And, or the Seattle Supersonics?
Absolutely, of course.
He reminds me of him a little bit. You know, and I think that your boy Drew would look nice right now back with the Sixers, too. And you said something, Devon. When did we try to go get him again? I never knew that.
He said that, well, first of all, they tried to get him last year via trade. And I think they tried to get him the year before as well because they wanted to pair he and Ben Simmons together. He said it on J.J. Redick's podcast as a guest. He said they tried to get him again, and he was like, no.
Wow, he said he turned it down.
Now, I don't know if it was a free agent thing, because that would have been Brian Colangelo before EB.
Wow, that's I always regretted Drew Holiday moving. I thought he was like really, really coming into his own. I think he was like, at that time, there was a lot of scoring, point guards coming in, and I thought he was like that next pair.
Remember,
but he was a fender.
He didn't get selected till 18 in that draft.
Drew Holiday?
Number
18. I thought he was a nice pick overall.
He was 18th. Andre Iguodala was 9th.
Okay.
Because that was Ty Lawson. That was Eric Maynor. Was Eric Maynor in that one? I have to go back and look at Drew's.
And yo, that Holiday family, they're pretty talented, ain't they?
Yeah, Justin and Aaron also, they on the Pacers.
right. That was a deal, man. That's a talented family right there. Big up to the mob.
Hey, and like people say, that was the Ball family only successful. Yes, on the basketball floor.
I still put a question mark on the Ball fit. I think they're going to be okay.
Well, LaMelo might be all right. LiAngelo.
I think Lonzo and LaMelo, they might be better, you know. It might be a little bit more accolades going over there in time.
Yeah, it might be. But right now, the Drew Holiday.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
They were the original basketball family.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Lonzo started filling out, man.
Yeah, he's playing.
Lonzo started playing
well for them. Yeah, playing
really
Playing well. Q, yes. Thanks for the call, man. We got to run.
No problem. Check out the Tiger King.
Tiger King. Appreciate it, Q. 610-632-0975. Final segment on the other side. And we will go in the post after the Game 6 2012 NBA Finals between the Bulls and the Sixers comes to a conclusion, which it has not. We do not have the box score as of yet. As soon as this ends with the Andre Iguodala free throws, we'll then get to the box score, allegedly, here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Oh! Andre Iguodala is going to the line with two seconds. 2.2 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Andre Iguodala drops fourth quarter after Omer Sheik misses two free throws. We didn't know that was going to happen. And Dre is going to the free throw line. Andre Iguodala, a terrible free throw, not terrible, but like a 60-whatever free throw percent shooter that season. Iguodala just wasn't a good free throw shooter at the time. But he did in this game make 2 of 2 so far. So let's see if he goes 3 of 3. He does. Ties it up at 78. Live. Play by play. That's right. I'm Tom McGinnis. Are you kidding me? And C.J. Watson C.J. Watson tries to say something to Iguodala while he's on the line. And that building is crazy. I remember it, hypothetically, in my dream.
You've not seen this game.
I have not seen this game before. And look at that coaching staff, though. Collins, you got Aaron McKee and Mike Curry. That's a good coaching staff right there.
Sure
Josh
is.
Harris sitting there in the way. Andre Iguodala makes the free throw and they inbound the ball to C.J. Watson, tries to draw a foul. Drew Holiday backs away and the Sixers win and they advance now, take on the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics.
Yes.
I'm right. I don't know what's happening. Confetti. Adam Aaron, thank you. Devon Givens. Final segment, Tyler Zuli. The Sixers, they're advancing to the Eastern Conference semis against the Boston Celtics. They have a shot, folks. They have a shot. Big free throws big free throws by Andre Iguodala, who during the season, as I look at his season stats, this would be 2011-2012. He's shooting 62% from the free throw line. That's big right there. Big.
That high arcing rainbow free throw too.
And the double clutch that he always did. Double clutch. I remember talking to his brother one day. I said, "Yo, why does he always do?" He said, "That's just what he always has done. That's his thing." CJ Watson tried to draw the foul.
It was close, man.
It was close. And then we have annoying fans celebrating. Not the ones in the stands. Yeah. Nick Vucevic. Look at that. Oh, man. Good times. Can't wait for game one. All right. Tiger King. Let's go to the box score first before we get to Tiger King. Here, let's see what happened in this game. In this game, Andre Iguodala, who we were talking about, with a game high. Game high, 20 points. 7 of 12, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 7 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 0 turnovers in 42 minutes and 41 seconds. Drew Holiday, he scored 14 points. Lou Williams, also 14 points off the bench. Spencer Hall's 8 points, but came up big with 10 rebounds. Elton Brand, 2 of 9 for 5 points, 3 boards, 2 block shots. In 35 minutes and 16 seconds, Evan Turner, 10 points, 4 of 11, 5 rebounds, 1 block in his time on the floor. Thaddeus Young with 8 off the bench. Jody Meeks had 5 minutes. Short playoff rotation. Only 8 men getting some run tonight in this win. Luol Deng and Richard Hamilton, Rip Hamilton, led the Bulls with 19 each. 10 points for Omer Asik and for Joakim Noah, CJ Watson, and for Derrick Rose, 2 of 11, 6 points. And Omer Asik just missed. He was 4 of 7 from the free throw line. Before he stepped to the line for those two, he had made 3 of 4. Off the bench, Taj Gibson with 14, 5 boards, 2 blocks. John Lucas III with 7 points, 3 of 5. Ronnie Brewer getting some run. Kyle Korver, if you remember, he was a part of the team at that time, 5 minutes. Jimmy Butler. Later, I hope the Sixers go after him and have him join the team. 26 seconds. I think that was his rookie year.
Could use some clutch shots from a guy like that.
Right now, he's a defensive player only. Maybe his offensive game can develop a little bit. Maybe he'll be an all-star type.
It's quite possible.
Quite possible. Yeah. All right, there we go. Breaking it down. Sixers shot 73 shots. You get that in 3 quarters now. Possibly 2 quarters.
Did you see the stat that popped up earlier in the fourth quarter?
No.
Where the Bulls were out rebounding the Sixers 55-30. It's not good.
33 rebounds. The Sixers ended up with 56-33. That was the rebounding advantage. Sixers got to the free throw line 20 times. The Bulls 21. Philadelphia 6 of 16 from deep. 2 of 13 from behind the arc for the Chicago Bulls. 37%. 30 for 80 in this game. 29 of 73. Man, that was some terrible shooting. My goodness. All right. They win. That is your In the Post here tonight. Sixers advance to the Eastern Conference semis against the Chicago. I mean, this is the Boston Celtics. There you go.
Win their 2K game.
And win their 2K
game. Pretty good
game.
Night.
They were busy tonight. They were busy. Some more serious stuff real quickly. I don't want to gloss over it, but tough. Per New York officials, this is from Jonathan Lemire here on Twitter. Per New York officials, where New York City has been hit pretty hard, right? With the COVID-19 deaths. The number of COVID-19 deaths jumped from 199 at 8 a.m. today to 280 by 6 p.m. tonight. That's tough to swallow. It really is. That's a shame. Just people be safe. And again, we do this because we want to have some fun and try to pull everyone away from the seriousness that is going on. And we're trying our best. We're trying our best. We get plenty of people who call in and say thank you for what we're doing. And once again, we thank you for what you have been doing for us as well. Seriously. That's tough, man. Yeah, it's tough. So there's that, man. But Tiger King, Tyler, I think that's something that we need to jump in on. Maybe I'll try to get into it at least one episode tomorrow when I'm off.
I got a tweet, by the way, said to watch it. What do you have to lose at this point?
I know.
You're right.
I know.
He's correct.
We might as well give it a shot, take a look at it. Certainly. Certainly. Elbow Shaferi, final one before we get out of here tonight. Once again, Brian from Plymouth Meeting says, you guys aren't idiots, and I'm not a hinky bot. Hopefully you know me well enough at this point to know I think for myself. Extremists on both sides of simpletons. Yeah, we know. It's always a good discussion with Brian when it comes. We both look at it fairly, and it's always a good discussion. Of course, it's never that when it comes to Brian. So, Ty, we got to get ready to get out of here. And thanks so much, man, for all your work tonight. Really appreciate it. Fun night.
Hey, real quick, before we get off, our guys were on TV.
Who's that?
A little wide shot. Got a little Tom McGinnis and Marty Dickerson on the screen.
Little television time here tonight. Staying busy. All right. Good stuff.
Those are our guys.
They are our guys. Thanks so much, man. Thanks to all the calls. Thanks to all the tweets. We had some good conversations tonight with the Eagles, the Sixers, some fun side stuff. And you know this is what it's going to be. Some sports conversation mixed in with a few side fun things overall as well. So we'll talk to you on Friday at 6 o'clock with Joe Torti. Joe will be solo, but along with Tyler Zuli when these guys resume tomorrow at 6 o'clock. So have a great night. Be safe. We'll talk to you right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.